What is going on, everybody? Welcome to your favorite time of the week, the Doss and D Show. It's so great to have you with us. Our guest today is a true international star. He's one of the biggest names to play in the A-League and is currently a goal-scoring machine for Melbourne City. Previously, he's played at the highest level in his home country of Germany, as well as Turkey and Italy. Here to tell us about his incredible life on and off the football pitch, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tolgay Arslan. It was an absolute honour for us to sit down with Tolgay, and what a truly humble guy he is. Yes, you'll hear some of his highlights of his career, like scoring the winner against Liverpool in the Europa League, swapping shirts with Cristiano Ronaldo, and the places in the world football has taken him. But you'll also hear a brutally honest side of football that does exist in some European countries. Like lights mysteriously going out in stadiums to stop momentum, violent pitch invaders, and some interesting tactics and incentives to try and sign players. Plus, there's some really interesting aspects of this episode that focuses more on European and Turkish culture rather than football. Tolgay shares his experiences in having to do military service for Turkey, even as an international football superstar. Now, if you've got football fever and want to hear more episodes like this one, check out our episodes with Paddy Casnorbo, Archie Thompson and Bailey Wright. But for now, let's get into it with the superstar himself, ladies and gentlemen, Tolgay Arslan.
Doss, I think we've got the number one man in the A-League at the moment, and he happens to play for your club.
I know. It's a bit of Melbourne City fever at the moment.
It is. You're very excited.
We're at the peak of it.
We are. Tolgay Arslan, welcome to the Doss and D Show.
You're welcome. Thanks for the inviting.
Oh, we're so excited to have you here, mate. I guess firstly, how is life in Australia going? Because it's a really interesting story. You had your eyes set on Australia quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was something special, I would say. I don't know why 10 years ago I always had the dream to live once in Australia. And we made always jokes with my wife, like one day we will be there. Even when my contract finished last year in Italy, I woke up and I said to my wife, I dreamed that we are living in Australia. And she said, okay, let's call your uncle. And then we called him and I said, uncle, I have good news for you.
He lives here?
He lives here, yeah. I said, in my dream we were living in Australia. And he said, this cannot be normal because 2 weeks ago, Fahid, who transferred me here, he played for Fahid Ben Kafala. He played for Melbourne Victory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He asked me about you and I said, no, I don't think he will come. I said, no, just tell Fahid, he can call me.
Yeah.
And then I think 5 days later, I signed already.
Yeah, he hasn't left. He stayed as well.
Yeah, he loves it here.
Yeah.
And he told me as well, you will love it. So I had to say it was very fast. Melbourne City was also very fast. The night before, I had just to sign. And then it was done.
Wow.
I said to my wife, we were in Napoli at the time, we had holidays. I said, no, we cannot do that. So it was just too fast.
Yeah, you couldn't believe it.
My dad, my mom, they called me. They said, no, you cannot do that. And then I said, listen, let's have a sleep. I called Fahid. I said, Fahid, my wife, she doesn't want to come. But it was me, I was scared.
Yeah.
He said, let me talk to your wife. Even my wife can call your wife. And I said, Fahid, listen, let me sleep. And then the next morning we woke up and then we asked the kids, so let's do it. And then I signed and then the kids was on the phone and the kids, they pushed a button to
accept it.
To accept
really?
It.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. We're going to talk about the travels and your football career and where football has taken you across the world. But in your dream that night, and when you think back then when you're in Germany and you're thinking about Australia, what's your perception? Is it deserts and kangaroos? Is it beaches?
Yeah, kangaroos. Yeah. No, but I had friends who were here who made work and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, in Europe, everyone loves Australia.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to live there. And even when I signed, I had even many players who they called me. They were really excited for me. Yeah, hopefully we will see a few bigger names in the next years. And I can see because I wanted to come in a good shape. I wanted to perform. And yeah, hopefully we will see good names the next years.
Mm. So going back to, I guess, your earliest memories, obviously you began at Borussia Dortmund, part of the academy, and worked your way up there. Did you always think you were going to be a professional footballer? Like, how old were you, do you think?
I think I was like 16, 17.
Yeah, okay.
So I could see, I was more gifted than other players. And in the youth, I was always one of the best. So, and then I could see, okay, I can really do it. Yeah, and then at one point, the school, I was not hungry enough, I would say.
You were thinking too much football.
Yeah, I was just football. And then, I had the chance to be with the first team, with Dortmund, with Jürgen Klopp.
Wow.
But that time they had Götze, and we played the same position, and I decided to, it was easier and for me than to move. I had enough offers, and yeah, I chose Hamburg. The time they were really good, and yeah, I played with amazing players there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know you played with Sonny, who's coming out to Melbourne soon, hopefully, for the Tottenham game.
I thought you mean he's going to come play in the A-League. I thought, what?
Yeah, we can dream. Maybe one day. We know what the culture's like here in Australia for kids growing up when they might want to pursue sport. But what is it in your culture in terms of, is it encouraged to go after sport, or are you encouraged by your family to go better at school and pursue a different career?
No, it's more because you had no choice. The opportunity in especially in Europe is not that big like here. Okay, you have football, mm-hmm. and that's it as a boy. So like everyone plays football, and I would say also I saw the schools also in Europe, like the system here is much, much better. And for me, it was just, yeah, it was my chance to have a good life, to take care of my family. As soon as I realized it, I pushed.
Mm. When you talk about playing for, say, Hamburg, one of the biggest clubs over in Germany, we've had this conversation numerous times, and that is with here in the A-League, there's obviously limitations with the salary cap and whatnot, whereas over in Europe, that's just not even really talked about. Mm. Playing, say, in Bundesliga, it's typically those same kind of top three teams that are always winning, and they're swapping here and there, but it's typically the teams that have the biggest names, they're winning the championship or the premiers played every year. Is that something that you found a bit interesting and odd coming to Australia, being such an even competition, like anyone can beat anyone here?
Yeah, it's crazy. Even us, we had also some amazing games and then some really bad games. Yeah, in Europe it's like, okay, who has the most money? Normally they can create the best team. And yeah, here it's hard. I don't know, till now, okay, it's a good competition because everyone can beat like everyone. But I think like to make the next step, you have to you have to change the rule.
Well, we had this conversation last week with Paddy Kisnorbo as well. And I know
he was very passionate about it.
He was very passionate about there needs to be more money in it and maybe no salary cap. This probably sounds like a dumb question, but what was your knowledge of the A-League in the years gone by prior to actually coming here?
Nothing.
Yeah. No, that's what we expect. That's what we expect. Yeah.
No, it was like, first of all, like the country was, that's the biggest argument for me. But then I was like, okay, Melbourne City, they have an incredible project and I want to be a part of it. Yeah, the A-League, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know the trip to Perth. To Wellington.
Perth. Well, that would be such a long way to travel for a game to Perth compared to probably what you've ever been used to in Europe.
Yeah, it's just in the Champions League you travel maybe 3-4 hours, but it's once a year. So I didn't know anything, and I was really surprised. Like that, the league has quality. Even now, when I see a lot of young kids, they they love football. And yeah, I just can say like there's one sport worldwide. So if you go on a plane now, we go to China, to Africa, to Europe, everywhere. There's just one sport. And to be honest, I really like footy.
Yes, Carlton so, man.
Yeah, I'm a Carlton man. But this sport has so much power. And so at one point, it's time to use it. And I think like many, many players would love to come here to play also here. But I'm honest, I was not chasing money. I had much, much bigger offers. But yeah, I thought I did what I could do. But to find many players who think like that, it's very, very hard.
Do you think when you're a professional footballer, you understand you have a period of time, like you have a certain window where you go, okay, my body, my age, I need to capitalize, you know, and it's no beating around the bush. Like it's, you know, it's a lot of money playing overseas. Do you look at it as a business? Like, cause we look at you as footballers and go, oh, they just love football. They love football. They're good at football. But in reality, it's your job too. So are you thinking ahead financially too? Okay, I need to do 3 or 4 years playing in Europe and then we're set and then we can go and do whatever.
It's hard, like in the beginning, because the football in overseas is tough.
Yeah.
The competition is high. Mm. So you have always young kids who are coming and they are ready. So it's also their chance. The first year, the first 3 to 5 years, you don't care because you're still young. You think you can play till the next 30 years, you know. So and then I would say after 25, 26, you start to think about what's after. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think then you have like a few years where you see also football as a business. So to save your family as well.
So how old were you when you had your first child?
I was 24.
Okay, yeah. So around that age, that 25 you said. Yeah,
like with my son it started. But I have to say I was like, not many football players are like me because I realized early that I have to do something. So then I had a few years where I chased, like I said, like, okay, who gonna make the biggest offer?
Yes.
I would go with them. And then after that deal, I was more relaxed, I can say. Yeah, after 5.5 years, I went to Italy to a club, Udinese. The style of football was not at all my style. It was defending, it was tactical, it was hard working against the ball. But yeah, I was relaxed and I wanted to push myself. I said, okay, I want to even learn that. Yeah, I liked it. But of course, I did it 3 years and I said, okay, 3 years. Running behind the ball, I want the ball.
So I want to score. Yeah.
it was hard. But when I arrived here, it was, yeah, I realized like my beginning, like the passion, because I can see the passion here is big. There is no much politics. There are no, yeah, because also maybe there's not so much money in, and there's just passion. There's just you go out kicking the ball with your friends. Yeah, that's what I like.
This episode of the DOS ND Show is brought to you by our friends at Fleet Plan High Solutions.
You guys know the name Fleet Plan High Solutions. We talk about them each week and the amazing work they do. But did you know that they do truck hire as well?
It's interesting. So what I'm hearing is there's no project too big or too small for these guys.
Mate, spot on. It even says that on their website because it doesn't matter what you need to cart around. I'm talking rocks or marbles, okay. Those big things. They've got the perfect truck size for you.
So what? Head to fbh.com.au?
That's exactly what I'd do if I was a smart man. But now we'll get back into the episode with Tolgo. As a kid, as a boy growing up, which teams did you follow around the world and which players did you try and model your game on?
My favorite team is and was always Barcelona.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but my favorite player was Zidane.
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
I thought you'd hate him if you go for Barcelona.
Yeah, but just his style of football was insane. And yeah, but as a kid, then I played in Dortmund.
Yes.
So I was a Dortmund fan. But as soon you are professional, you don't support anyone.
Yeah, of course.
You just always go with your team.
I've always wondered that with AFL players, because it's the same. You grow up going for a team and you wonder, do they still have a soft spot? It's out the window. You forget. Yeah. Do you just forget about? You're there to play for the team you're playing for.
Yeah, you just go for your team.
Yeah.
So we won so many times against Dortmund and I was the happiest person.
Yeah, well, that says a lot. Yeah.
Well, do your kids follow football? And if so, do they watch even overseas teams play that you might not be involved in? And do they have a team?
Yeah, my son, my big one, he loves Mbappé.
Yes, of course.
And Ronaldo. I'm a big Messi fan, but he loves Ronaldo. And it was also fun because Ronaldo did his last game in Italy against us.
Yes.
Against Udinese after he went to Manchester. And I never swapped jerseys. I just swapped twice. One was Ibrahimovic. And the second one was Ronaldo for my son. And then he gave me a signature on it.
Wow.
I knew he will. Okay, he's going to leave Italy. Yeah, he loves Ronaldo and Mbappé.
What did you say to him when the game ends and you swap jerseys? Did you say something during the game? Do you have to get in first?
No, it was quite after the game. We had like many battles.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't start that game, so it was we knew okay. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was good. If you see he's not starting, you have feeling you can win.
Yeah.
So and,
that's very true.
Yeah, and then was 2-0 for them, and we came back 2-2, and he came on the last 15 minutes, I think. And the Udinese is also for families is an amazing place. But if the big teams are there, then the whole stadium is going for the big team. And he came on, and in the last minute, he scored a header, and the stadium went crazy.
Wow.
So, and then it was offside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And after the game, I was close to him, and I just said, I need your jersey. Yeah, he was, like, very kind.
Interesting.
When you talk about these huge crowds, and I only went over to England for the first time, we went a couple of years ago, and to experience a crowd over in England for me was like nothing I've ever seen before. And they're so vocal, and they're chanting and coming up with the songs. And of course, it can be like such a euphoric feeling, a good feeling for a player, but I'm sure it can be hard when you're losing and they're disappointed and they're screaming and yelling and chanting bad things. What was that experience like?
I think like the craziest crowds in Europe are in Turkey. So if you have a derby and you play away, it's the hell. So even we can see like when they play in the Champions League and big teams are coming, like no one wants to play in Turkey because they are really crazy. So they don't stop, and it's you can't speak even to your teammate because it's so loud. And when you play home, it's you can really feel you play with one man more on the pitch, and you can feel the fear of the opponent. But it's the same when you play away. So the first 30 minutes you don't go in any risk, you just kick the ball long. So yeah, it's big pressure you have. But then after the game, you feel like, oh, that was my dream. So to play in front of these crowds. And I was also, I said, I was the first game Carlton Collingwood. But you cannot compare the crowds to football. This is something else. This is really, we had in the Champions League, Werner, who's playing now in Tottenham, and our fans in Besiktas, they gave an amazing performance there, and he had to go off after 30 minutes because he had problems with his ears. He was out for a month, so
really?
it was too loud for him, and
what?
He was dizzy in the game. So, wow. Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that before.
It was like, and I was on the pitch, and he was like, yeah, to the coach, you have to put me out. I can do it.
Wow.
And the coach tried to push him. Like, come on, it's going to disappear. So, yeah, and we won that game 2-0. So after the second goal, they made a big pressure, and then the lights went off in the stadium. So we can. This is also normal in Turkey.
Really,
really.
Yeah, it was like. So they were coming. Like it was like close that they score.
You're kidding.
And then the lights they went off, and we said like, oh, good. So we have 5 minutes to take our break and. And then after the game was done, so they couldn't continue.
Wow. I was going to ask, you mentioned the word, like, here it's not politicized. I don't know what you meant by that, if that means within a team, within like a Melbourne City camp and players and coaches, or do you mean within the crowds? Is there political messages that go on? And
yeah, everything. Because it's football is powerful. So it's because everyone in the world follows football, but it's also in the teams. So let's say Udinese was a good example. They normally have like 3-4 players like me, experienced players, and we take care of the young ones. So they try to let like young players to play, that they can sell them for big money. And I remember, for example, Udoji. Left back from Tottenham, amazing player, and I think like he will be one of the best left backs in 2 years, maybe the best. But the first 10 games he played with us, he was playing behind me. I was like, man, like you have to change, or otherwise, like they're gonna happen something. I was like, he was just, because it's a big difference between youth and seniors. And then at one point, and so we lost also games, but they were like they knew how good he is or how good he can be. Yeah, they want to make money with him.
Yes.
So, and then after two and a half months, he was like, he arrived, and then he was by far the best left back in the league for 2 years. And then he went for 30 million to Tottenham, but they bought him for 1 million.
Wow.
Right.
So even like if the team are safe, they let like the young ones, they play. Because maybe some can perform a few games and then you can sell them, you can make good money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that kind of politics you have have there.
In the locker room around that, say there's the transfer window is open, there's discussions, players are obviously talking with their agents about opportunities. Do you as teammates, I'm sure you share friendships and socialise a lot and you go for coffees and families spend time together. Do players share transfer news and where they might be going, or does it typically kept to themselves before it happens?
First of all, like, you never do something with your teammates.
Really?
So it's like your really? Job.
So that's different to here.
Yeah, it's totally different. Like, you have good mates. I was always one who... Because you have always also groups, like you have South Americans who are like together, then you have the Europeans, then in Turkey you have the Turkish people, and so in Italy the Italian or the Africans. But I was like kind of in the middle always, because I was always cool with everyone. But like the big thing is if there are players who are playing on the same position like you, you never talk to them.
Really?
Because it's a competition.
Yeah.
So you have to be focused that you perform, because you want to play. You want to earn more money. You want to make the transfer. It's like you have just 2-3 friends, I would say. Like with them in Hamburg, I had Sonny. We were young. So Hakan was there. And in Turkey was more the foreigner players. I'm very close to Atiba Hutchinson. He was the captain of Canada. In Italy, I was closer to the South Americans. But it was not like, it's not like here.
You're not playing golf with
them. That's crazy. Because I mean, you mentioned footy. So football, AFL, that's the sport that we know the best and we've played our whole lives. But if you're in direct competition with, say, we're all in the team and we all play the same position, we actually are closer, even though we're trying to get each other's spot because we train together. We're trying to coach each other.
He thinks we're crazy.
Yeah.
That's impossible in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really like, I was like also kind of shocked, like, oh, wow, they're so nice here. So also between each other. Maybe that's why I said, like, I found my passion back, because I started like that.
Yeah.
And then the years I had in overseas, they made you strong, really strong. To arrive very high, yeah, you have to be very strong also mentally. Because one game can change your life in a good way or in a bad way.
Mm. What happens when you're actually out of favor with a manager? When you know... you've, for whatever reason, somebody's gone above you, you've lost your position, they favouring this guy, and you feel like it doesn't matter what you do now, it's going to be very hard to get your spot back. How do you deal with that?
But this is normal, because like I had many coaches. So some like they like you, the other not. Like, it's also some coaches, they want to play like nice football, and the others, they want to defend. I always struggled with some of them, I would say, but at the end I always played.
Okay.
So I was, but it was also something in the youth what I had. I had to fight always. Like they teach us in Dortmund from the beginning, you had always 2-3 kids, and then you have to challenge, and it's a competition, and the best one at the end, he plays. And I was kind of used to it. And but if you have like a very, I don't remember that I have a coach I never played, but the only thing what you can do is like, you can change the club, or you can hope that they suck him. So yeah. This is just, let's say the coach is new, they change the coach in September. So it means in January you can go. It's a hard time for you, because it means like 4 months you won't play.
It seems as though it's very much us, you against them. Like that's it sounds like that. So that, I'm sure that means that you rely very heavily on your own family and the people in your own circle, personal life. So when it comes to football, football's football. There's no real close relationships. But you've got probably your manager, your wife, obviously your kids. So how, with your own personal team, how many people are in your own team? Is it an agent? Is it friends? Is it, who do you talk to when you go through struggles like that?
To be honest, like of course my wife, then my agent, but he has to be also, because he wants to make also deals with the club. So sure. I'm not just his, he just
friend.
Yeah, it's like, but most of the time I have a mental coach since 10 years. So if I have really times, and I had also times where I really struggled, yeah, then I call him. So to come down or to see the whole picture, and yeah, and to be honest, like in Europe, like when I was home, football was done. I had my kids. I had like my family. Once a month, I had like a friend from the team who came over, or we had dinner. But yeah, you have your own family. It's like you go there to work, or if you want to win, because you have bonuses when you're going to win. So everyone earns money.
Mm-hmm.
So and then you go home.
I want to dive into your personal life a little bit. When did you meet your wife? How long have you been with her for, and how did you meet?
It was 2009. We are together since 2009.
So you must have been, what, 18, 19, something like that?
I was 19.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Wow.
Since I was 19, I met her in Hamburg. Yeah, she was working in a restaurant because she finished school and she had like 1 year. Then she wanted to study. She studied, she's a teacher. And
So she's German?
She's German, yeah. Yes. She doesn't have a background like me. Yeah, but yeah, and since then, it was, for me, it was good because it was like my beginning. So it was like a kind of no one. Mm-hmm. I was no one. So it was, for me, it was sure that like she's the right one.
Yes.
And then 6 years later, we married, and now, but we have 2024.
Yeah.
15 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's actually a really interesting point. She met you before you were really like a big star. Over your journey, have you seen guys and certain players, have you seen them kind of get attracted to shiny objects and obviously earning a lot of money? Have you seen women take advantage of teammates or because they're famous or like, I know you can't comment on behalf of other people, but I'm sure you've seen.
I think you can see every week in the news that is happening, especially in the Premier League. I think there are many women who are chasing them, and but that's why I was lucky, I would say. Mm. So, but of course, this is also, it's also a part of the game
for sure.
We are in. Yeah, that's why I like the. That's why I like Australia. So the people are very humble, and like really down to earth. And how I grew up, it's like also kind of attitude I want to give my kids. I want to show them, and that's why we love it here.
Well, one thing I'm interested in too is obviously you played in Germany, Turkey, Italy, Australia. How is it for your family and even your kids? Like, I don't know how it works with moving schools. They might lose their friends because you get an offer to go to another country. How does it work for your family? I'm sure your wife's been very supportive of you, but there must be some sacrifice from her and their end as well.
Yeah, for my wife, I said like she could make the choice. She said like she wants to come here. So her, okay, I had.
Yes, didn't have to convince her.
So the second one was my big son. He struggled a lot, but they went like to international schools, English schools. So with the language, they didn't have a problem. But he was now in an age where he had to leave all his friends.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
So the first 4 or 5 months they were really hard, but. We always made the experience, even with my wife, for my wife, like when we moved to Turkey, like the first year it was like a mess. Then like the second year you arrive, and after the third year you said like, okay, I can imagine to stay here for a few more years. The same we had in Italy. In Italy the problem was like she couldn't speak Italian, also me not. But I learned it very fast. But it was also for the first year, was hard even for the kids, because the Italians, even when they can speak English, they're very proud, they speak Italian. So it was also hard. So after the third year where the kids, they could also speak Italian, it was easier. But then we said like, okay, now we have to move again. And we said, at least we don't struggle with the language. Like we have the feeling now it's 8 months, 9 months, but we feel like we're already in the second year. So we skip like the first year. It wasn't that hard like we had in the time like we had in Turkey and in Italy. And now they have friends at school and activities after school. Yeah, and even when we have day off or something, we are like, yeah, we want to see something. So we made many trips here.
Yeah, well, and that's probably another good segue, because we asked you off air, but what do you enjoy doing away from football?
Yeah, I do business. Like, I love numbers.
Yeah.
I really like, I just love it. So to make investments, to...
So you're good with maths? Good with maths?
Yeah, I'm very good.
Throw him a... Go on, throw him a...
Don't ask me.
No, like I can... it's also a gift, or what I learned, like yeah, with investments, I can straight see, okay, how is the return, how profit you're going to make. And yeah, it's I have my company in overseas. Yeah, I have people who they're going to run it for me, especially my brother, who take the lead now there. And yeah, from here, it's for me, it's easy. So, okay, the time difference is quite hard. But like on Zoom or something, when there's something very important, 2 days ago I had a Zoom call. Yeah, I can do it still from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You're running a business from the other side of the world. Yeah. One thing we read online, and this is, again, this is not in our culture at all, but to do military service for your country. So did you have to go and do military service in Turkey? And what does that, do you get a letter? Do you get a call? How does it work?
Yeah, it was just like, it was 24 days, I think.
Oh, okay. So it's quite short.
It was bad because it was on our holiday. So like normally we have like 5-6 weeks off. And 1 month, it's already, yeah, you have to go to military. But I was in my hometown in Turkey. So I had like my auntie, she was there, she cooked for me. So it was good. She
looked after.
Yeah, she looked after me, but it was hard. It was.
So what do you have to do there? Because we again, for us, there's nothing we ever think about. Yeah, but we don't know what it means to do military service.
It came up a new rule, because before it was normally like when you're going to pay, you can skip it.
Oh, so you can pay to get to not. Yeah. Okay.
So, and then they changed the rule that, you can pay and just do like 24 days. Now I think it's 28 days.
Okay.
So just to reduce your military. Normally, my time, it was 12 months. So, but wow. When you're there, like, they don't care if you're...
Who you are.
Yeah. It's like the system there, it's so hard. It was... but it was, for me, it was an amazing experience.
So you have to do it before a certain age, each person.
I had like 5 more years and I said like, no, I do it straight away, then it's done. Yeah, but you were also together with like people who gonna, like who they did 12 months. And the people who paid for it, they just did it like 1 month. But... yeah, it was also a good experience to see like people who really have nothing,
mm-hmm.
and still they're happy.
Yes.
And it was, for me, it was also amazing to see like, because when we were also there, they changed the rule. They went from 12 months to 9 months. So we had a few boys who were there 10, 11 months, so they could go home.
Mm-hmm.
They said like, no, we want to stay because at least we have a bed and something to eat here.
They didn't want to leave, really. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, then you realize like how gifted you are. So I made many friends there.
Yeah.
Of course, I tried to help many boys, but it was such a nice experience. I could shoot with every gun I want.
So do your kids have to do this in the future, or are they not? How does it?
No, they don't, because I did it.
Oh, okay.
So I did it.
So they don't.
What a good dad you are!
No, I did it. They don't need to do. Yeah, but it was hard because you have to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, shave, clean the toilets. You know, during the night you have to be outside, like every 30 minutes they're going to change you. Someone tap on your shoulder. Oh. It's your turn. It's in the night at 2 o'clock. So you have to go out and then come back. It's 3 o'clock. 2 hours later, you have to wake up.
It was, wow.
Yeah. It's, and what is there, what was really like, I was impressed was, as soon you see someone who has like a star more or who's the rank is higher, you're like, so you can say something to him. You have to, even when he say to you, bring me tea, doesn't matter like who you are, you have to do it because there is like the rankings are important.
Hierarchy, yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me think we have it really, really lucky here.
Yes.
Like, we have, and we don't I don't think we understand. We don't get, because we never see anything like it.
No, that's why we're interested to hear, yeah.
I know we're probably going back to football, but we talk about the crowds earlier. Was it a shock to you? It's a big difference playing in front of probably 50 plus thousand every week to now, like, you know, I'm sure you've played in much smaller crowds back here in Australia. Was that a bit of a funny feeling? I mean, yeah, we love the fans. We still love the fans, but
it was in the beginning. It felt like a friendly game.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but it's also something I did. It's you have to motivate yourself every week, because sometimes you don't feel well in the like during the day, but then you go out, you see the crowd, like you forget everything. And here is like you have to prepare yourself every time, like on you have to be motivated.
Sunday afternoon in Wellington. Yeah.
So yeah, but I have to say, like, really the quality, I didn't expect that. And I think like the Australians, they're gifted with the power.
Physical
power and the love of work.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's something I never saw in my career.
Wow.
And and then to battle against these kind of people, you have to be smart and fast in the head. So I always knew even when I received the ball, I always have the second or third step already in my head.
Yeah.
So when I received the ball, like, I don't think what I'm doing because I did it in my head. So my legs, they just do it. I'm already in the second or third part.
Yeah.
So when I flick the ball or something, I'm already like in my head when I receive it, what I'm doing in the next step. But so when you don't do it, they come hard.
Well, there must be a different, like, it must be a different kind of challenge, because playing in Europe in higher standard leagues is obviously you're coming up against great opponents every week. Whereas here, the quality is probably a little bit lower, but now you have to play with lower standard teammates just based on what you've done in the past. You're probably the most experienced player, played at the highest level than almost anybody in the league. It must be a different kind of challenge now for you.
Yeah, it's different, but to be honest, like I said, I didn't expect that the league is so strong. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I will come to Melbourne City and we're gonna win every week and it's a good life. And yeah, but it's not like this. And the football in Europe is more tactical.
Yes.
So when the opponent see that he cannot reach the ball, he takes a tactical position, and here is when they don't when they see they cannot get the ball, they come for you. So it's a different, and it's a nice experience, and yeah, I hope just like we have the next years a few more players from overseas. Good players, and we see also the young ones here playing in Europe.
You seem to be playing like super freely, like you're spending a lot of time in obviously the front third as well, and you're scoring probably more goals than you've ever scored. Like, are you feeling just like total freedom within the way you're playing?
Yeah, I said, like, I feel like in the youth, I always scored also a lot of goals. And in overseas, I played more the six.
Yeah.
I was, like, the playmaker. And I was more in the defense. So here I'm more in the offense.
Mm.
So, and I have more freedom. So sometimes, because the last 3 years in Udinese, they were hard. I had to run a lot behind the ball. And here, like, we decide normally the game. Of course, you can rest sometimes, and you have the power to go again. And maybe
I have to ask as well. How did you handle the Australian heat, like the real hot, playing in the real heat?
It was hard. The hardest game was in Perth.
Yeah,
it was so hot. It was like, really, I was like, fuck, what is this?
yeah.
So, it was just like, But then you get used to it because we played also the Champions League.
Yeah.
And then we played in Thailand, in China or Japan. It was also a heat. Yeah, but it's like something I wanted to see because it's a new experience for me. And like I want to see like how far my body can go.
You embraced it.
Yeah.
So far in your career, what is greatest football memory you've got at the moment? You've played with some incredible players, against some incredible players, for some big teams, against some big teams. What's your best memory so far?
The best memory, I would say, was my goal against Liverpool.
I thought you would say that.
Because, that changed my life there. And it was like hard because I went there in winter. And the winter season to make the change is always hard. Because the team, they already played many games. And so you come in a half of season and you want to play. So you have to, you have to perform very fast. That goal, it was my opening there. And of course, my life changed after that goal. Yeah, I would say it was like one of the best memories I had. The best one were like when we became champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing. In Turkey is really, if you have the chance to see a game there, then you will really feel.
I think I'm a bit terrified. should we jump into the golf box?
We will. As you get the golf box ready, I want to ask quickly, Tolgay, what are three things you love about Melbourne that you might, outside of football, is there anything that you really like about this city?
About the city?
Yeah, or about the area.
I love the people here.
People?
Yeah, they are like very, very kind and as I said, like humble. And yeah, it's just the way like I want my family around these kind of people. And
coffee? Food? Well, it probably doesn't stack up if you've been in Italy. Yeah.
Italy.
Food is difficult.
Difficult?
No, I like the sea. Nature.
Yeah.
It's I see animals I've never seen before.
yeah,
animals that can kill you if you're not careful.
And I think like the one of the best parts in Melbourne is like you have so much to do. Last week I was at the Formula One.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah. So
how was that experience?
That was nice.
Yeah. Talk about loud noises.
Yeah, it was to watch was boring, but because you just see like. But to feel the atmosphere was nice.
Yeah.
But with kids or even without kids, you have so many things to do, and you have the feeling the city, it gives you like opportunities like you never had in your in your life.
Have you come across any spiders at home yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does not faze at all.
No. Yeah. Well, he's terrified. So.
I don't like him.
No, yeah. I'm not scared of. Of animals, so I just had opossums in the garden.
Oh the noises they make in the middle of the night. Yes, yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's not nice. Are you reading?
Yeah, I'll read it. Go for it. What's in the Golf Box is brought to you by Golf Box, Australia's greatest golf superstore, and Australia's greatest golf sale is now on at Golf Box. Up to 50% off clubs, clothing, and shoes. Plus, score huge savings on your golfing favorites and essentials. Head to golfbox.com.au.
50% off this week. Doss, so for anybody listening that loves their golf, and not just equipment, we're talking some nice clothes as well. 50% off, that is incredible.
Tolga, you like your golf, don't you?
I love it.
Well, he's about to love it. We're about to hit you up with some lovely golf gear. So this game, Tolga, it's watching the Golf Box. You're going to put your hand in there. There's always mystery and surprise, and whatever you pick out, we'd love you to answer that question or that challenge.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
What does it say? Oh.
What's the dumbest injury you've given yourself?
Oh, we love this one. We love this one.
The dumbest. Okay. It was a good one.
We like good ones.
Okay, when it was like when I was in Hamburg and I wanted to go to Beşiktaş. Of course, the clubs in Turkey, they asked me to come, and I already said yes. I said yes to Beşiktaş, and it was like the next day I was preparing myself to be on the plane and to fly to Istanbul. And then at that night, the coach and the president from another club, Trabzonspor, they ring on my door in Turkey, in Germany. And I was like surprised. And my wife, she's German, she said, what is this? And I called my dad. I said, like, listen, what should I do? I said, yes. And he said, like, yeah, it's not respectful. So just go there and have a dinner with them. And then we had a dinner, and they drank a little. And then at one point, the president said, like, he gave me a paper and something to write. And he said, like, just write your numbers. And my agent was there, and I was looking to him, and I was like, is he kidding me? And he said, yeah, make, like, what you want. So I put everything, like, the double what I had off, the offer from... And he went on and he said, like, okay, the lawyer is tomorrow here. You're going to sign this. So I went home and I was with my wife. And I said, like, listen, this offer is very good. Maybe we should think about it. And she said, I cannot live in Trabzon. No chance. Even, like, Turkey, Istanbul, okay. So the next morning I woke up, and the pressure was big. And then I was like, so really stressed. And then I hit my hand against the wall.
Oh, no.
So I broke my hand.
Oh.
So, and then, like, I decided at the end to go to Beşiktaş. And it was just a big mess, also in the news in Turkey. So nobody knew where I go. And then I arrived there, like, with a broken hand. So even the goal against against Liverpool, like, my hand was on a because I said, like, okay, I'm gonna sign here. Like, even when it's painful, it was really painful in the beginning. I said, like, I have to play because. I cannot tell them that I broke my hand on the wall, and now I cannot sign the contract.
So did they find out that this other club?
No, of course not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I would go with that.
Oh, you did well to cover that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an unbelievable story, Tommy. Do you have the where's that voucher?
Yeah,
I was looking for that. There we go.
Well, you want
to. Yeah, well, actually, we'll go through the prize pack for coming on the show today, Tolga. So firstly, for completing that and giving us that unbelievable story, Golfbox has hooked you up with a $250 Golfbox voucher, and it's 50% off this week, so next 2 weeks, I believe. So you can actually get yourself maybe a nice set of new clubs or some
apparel. Don't take that. We'll give you a proper one.
And then Fleet Plan High have also come to the party too. Do you want to maybe explain?
Yeah, they've given us, or given you, I should say, a little goodie bag with some socks, some golf balls, some tees, golf towel, golf glove. So you're going to have to get out on the course with the boys, I reckon. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. It's been a pleasure to hear your story, and I hope it's been good for you to be able to talk about not just football, about life. And for us, we're just really, really grateful. So thanks.
Thank you.